What are we doing here today? I'm just kidding. Are you guys excited for the Word of God today? I hope that you are, man, because the Word of God is always good. It builds you up. It will edify you. It will do a work in your life. I hope you know you haven't come. I hope you haven't planned to come into the house of God to leave the same, but you've planned to come today and allow God to do a mighty work in your heart and in your life, because that's exactly what He wants to do. And He wants you to leave this place changed, uplifted, walking a little bit closer to Him, a little bit closer to what I want to do right now. Is I'd like to get down on my knees and pray, and let's invite God to come and speak to our hearts. So if you'd bow your heads with me, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before You today, and we thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to come into Your house. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your love toward us, Lord, even as we sang. Father God, that You're a God that wants to do great and mighty things, Lord, in our hearts and our lives. Lord, even things, Lord, the Bible says that we've not imagined, things that we know not, Father. And so we're inviting You to come. Holy Spirit, You are the promise of the Father. You are the teacher of the church. And so come and do that mighty work in our hearts and our lives. Help us to open up our hearts. Father, help us to open up our lives, Father God, to Your word. And Lord, help us also to be obedient, to be doers of the word of God and not just hearers only, so that we will be blessed in our deeds and not deceived. And Father, we'll give You all of the praise, all of the glory, all of the honor today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody in agreement with me, with that said, amen. Thank You, Jesus. Well, we are continuing our series today entitled Be the Difference. So if you're taking notes, you could jot that down. This is part number two, and I've subtitled this just like Pastor Luke did last week with this little statement here, Agents of Change. Agents of Change. And I don't know if you realize this yet or not, but God has called you to be an agent of change, somebody who brings change to the world around them. God has not called you to just get saved, know who Jesus is, make it to heaven at the end of your life, and skip out on hell, but He's called you to make a difference in the life that you live, a difference here on the earth, a difference in your family, a difference on your job, a difference, I mean, in your schools. Everywhere that you go, God has called you to make a difference for the kingdom of God, to build the kingdom of God, and to accomplish something great for His name. All right, and if you brought your Bibles, let's go ahead and go to John chapter 14, and let's look at verse number 12. And Jesus makes a statement here that I have found to be intriguing, that I have found to be interesting, a statement that I've even found to be challenging. Even at some times throughout my life, I found it to be hard to understand, but nevertheless, Jesus writes it because it's for our edification, our direction, our encouragement today. And I just think it's so good. I believe that God has something to say to us today. Here in John chapter 14, verse number 12, Jesus makes this statement. He says, most assuredly, and don't get it twisted. Listen today. Let there be no doubts about it beyond any shadow of a doubt today. He says, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of strikes me as like, wow, did Jesus really say that? Let me take a time out and let me read that again, because, I mean, Jesus, did you really realize what you said right here? Now, let me explain just a couple of things as we get into this verse, just so you know where we're headed, just so you have maybe a base understanding. But Jesus here at the very beginning of this verse begins to specify who he is talking to and who he is talking about, okay? So let's look at it again. The very beginning, it says, most assuredly, I say to you, here we go, he who believes in me. So the question tonight is, do you believe in Jesus? If you believe in Jesus, let me see you raise your hand. All right, if you believe in the Son of God, if you are a Christian today, then I want you to know that this verse is talking about you. This verse is not just for people who have a title in front of their name, people who have a special calling above the rest. Jesus says here that the person who believes in him, he says, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. The second thing I want you to understand about what Jesus is saying here is number two, the works of Jesus. He's talking about the deeds that he's done, the doings of Christ. All right, and so the same way, in other words, Jesus lived his life, and the same things that he did when he walked the earth, God has called you to do those same things. Now somebody help me today, because what did Jesus do when he walked the earth? Somebody help me. Throw something out at me. He healed people. He laid hands on the sick and they were healed. Did you know today that God has called you to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover? He's called you to be an agent of change, to bring about change in a person's life who may be ill. Today, he has anointed you. He has called you. He has purposed you. He has planned you to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Amen. Glory be to God. What else did Jesus do? He raised people from the dead. Did you know God has called you to raise people from the dead? He has. God has empowered you. God has given you his spirit. God has called you to do great and mighty things here on the earth. What else did Jesus do? Jesus fed the hungry. Jesus clothed the naked. Hey, did you know Jesus went about preaching and teaching the things of the kingdom of God, edifying and encouraging and strengthening those around him? Did you know today you don't need a pulpit to do some preaching and some teaching? Come on, you don't need a pulpit in the house today to do some encouraging and to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ or among the earth where you are. You know, if you were to ask me who is one of the most influential people when it came to the word of God in my life, I'd have to say that my mom would have to be one of the people at the top of the list. My mom's not a preacher, but you know what? She taught me some things about the word of God. She did some preaching. I want you to know today, if you're a parent, God's called you to do some preaching, man. God's called you to do some talking. God's called you to sit those children down and say, now listen, this is what the word of God has to say, and this is how you're going to live. Amen. Or else. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right, but God has called you. You don't have to have a pastor in front of your name to encourage your brothers and your sisters around you to say, hey, listen, by his stripes, you are healed. Hey, you know, listen, God is a great provider. He's a faithful God, and he will make a way for your life. He's the God who can open up doors that no man can close and close the doors that no man can open. You just wait. You just keep on holding on because God ain't ever going to let go of you, and I know that he has a plan and a purpose for your life. God has called you to do that. God has called you to do great and mighty things. And listen today, and so I hope today that you have not developed an idea of the Christian life as being that of which just comes to church, sings a few praise songs, listen to somebody's message, and then goes home the same, and you live out the rest of your life that way, and you think, hey, I've done what God has called me to do. You've cut yourself far short of what God has for your life. God has called you to do the works of Jesus. Now, let's maybe get a little bit more specific here because what do you think of, let me ask everybody this, what do you think of when you think of an agent of change? Maybe you might think of, I don't know, a cleaning agent, 409, I don't know. What do you think of when you think of something that brings about a change? Maybe, I don't know, maybe the invention of sliced bread. I don't know, the invention of the wheel, something that has changed the world forever, all right? What'd you say? Strawberry slicer. Change Stacy's world. Agent of change right there. All right, who do you think of when you think of somebody who's brought about change? Martin Luther King, all right, somebody who's brought about change. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you're not quite that spiritual. Maybe you thought of somebody like Michael Jackson. He's the king of pop, man. He changed the pop game. He's just amazing. I'm looking at the, no, I'm just kidding. Whoever or whatever it is that comes to your mind, I think that you would agree with me that Jesus has to be at the top of the list as far as people who have changed the world. Jesus Christ, and not just changed the world, but really changed the world for its better, for its betterment. And in fact, no greater change has been brought to the world than the change that Jesus Christ will bring into the life that says yes to him, that says, I'm surrendering all my heart, all my life. Today, I'm having my sins forgiven. Today, I'm going to be made new. Today, I'm leaving darkness behind. I'm leaving hell behind, and I'm going to heaven. No other change like the change that Jesus can bring. And so I guess I take all this time here in my intro to say this to you, that Jesus comes along and says the same things that I've done, I've called you to do. I've called you to be a person who changes the world. You know, people who, I'm reminded of the disciples in the book of Acts. And the Bible says that the people who were around them at the time said this of them, that these are the men that have turned our world upside down. I wonder how many of us have that testimony about the world around us. this young adult has changed, has turned my world upside down. Really, the world doesn't realize you put it right side up because they had it upside down. They had it wrong. But I wonder, is that your testimony tonight? Is that my testimony tonight? Because that's what God has called you and I to do, to absolutely be people who rock this world. If you're not going to do it, Nicki Minaj is. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure that we want the change that she has to bring. If you're not, LeBron James is. Let's heat a topic. I don't know. Let me say this to you also. All throughout the Word of God, you'll find that God used men to change the world. What honor God has bestowed upon men. Men, insignificant. Yeah, at our best, we fall short. At our best, we fail. And yet God has so honored you and I, all throughout the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. Listen, God didn't build the boat; Noah did. God did the work through a man. All throughout the Word of God. What about Paul the Apostle? Paul the Apostle. He wrote 2/3 of the books of the New Testament. How many of you would say that's an accomplishment, Pastor Joe? I would wear that as a badge on my chest or it would be at the top of my resume. God wrote the Word of God through men. What an honor. And you know what? Historians have said about Paul the Apostle that if it were not for Paul the Apostle, we would not have Christianity today. Think about that. Now listen, we know that God is a resilient God. If it wasn't Paul the Apostle, it would have been somebody else. My point being is, look at how greatly God used a man to change the world. And so who is the next great? Look at your neighbor and say, that be you. This could be a really long and boring message, or you could choose to get involved. Amen. All right. So let me see some more people turn to their neighbor and say, that be you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Poor Sarah doesn't have anybody to turn to. Thank you. Yes, you, you are the next great that God has called to use to change the world. But Pastor Joe, I'm just a waiter at Chili's. There is a man by the name of Stephen in the Bible. You know what his job was? He waited on widows. I don't know about you, but I don't think that's very cool. I never woke up and said, Mom, I don't want to do one with my life. I want to care for some lonely old widows. Could have changed the world. But you know what the Bible says, and we're not diminishing widows today, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But the Bible says that God worked miracles by the hand of this man named Stephen. He was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And so regardless of whether or not you deem yourself as significant or not, stop it, because God wants to use your life in a great and mighty way, far beyond what you've ever even imagined, all right? God's called you to be an agent of change. A man by the name of Steve Furtick, he's a young senior pastor I happen to listen to from time to time. He made this statement in a magazine I read, and I just wanted to quote it to you. He says, Christ is not only the substitute for my sins in his death, but also the example for life as a Christian. The point of being a Christian is to be like Christ. Most Christians are not as in danger of ruining their lives as they are of wasting them. Most Christians are not as in danger of ruining their lives as they are of wasting them. And then he went on to talk about, I don't want my life to pass me by, and at the end of my life say, I missed out on seeing God do great and mighty things in and through me. Hello, somebody. You and I could be in danger of wasting our life. What a shame it would be that we would do so. So today, I want to talk to you about how to be the most effective agent of change that you can be. All that you can be in the army of Jesus, all right? How to be the most effective agent of change that you can be. Number one today, you must embrace your personal commission. Number one today, if you're going to be an effective agent of change, you're going to have to embrace your personal commission. Now, I know at first hearing that and first seeing that, that might not make a lot of sense to you. So let me help you understand. When we talk about commission, we're talking about a charge. We're talking about a duty or responsibility that has been placed upon you and I by God, a commandment by God. Did you know today that not only has God commissioned you for the Great Commission, but he has given you a personal commission? God has called you, if I could say it to you like this, God has called you to address you. God has called you to deal with you. God has called you to take the word of God and let your life be transformed according to it, all right? Let me say it to you like this. Who you are today is the result of the decisions that you have made yesterday. And who you will be tomorrow is the result of the decisions that you have made today. You are responsible for you. You are responsible for your feelings. You are responsible for your attitudes. You are responsible for the thoughts that you think and the words that you say and the deeds that you do. Pastor Joe, you don't understand what has happened in my life because if you were to know what happened in my life, you would understand why I am the way that I am. Listen, I know that sometimes life can be difficult. I know that sometimes life can dish you things that you don't want to that seemingly change your life forever. But you know, with God on your side, who and what can be against you? You can still be all that God's called you to be, and you can still do all that God's called you to do. Every one of us have an excuse why to give up, why to cave in, and why to quit. But God is just looking for somebody who says, you know what, God, I'm going to lay that aside, and I'm going to choose to believe you today. God, I'm going to lay that aside. I'm just to choose to do what you told me to do, and I'm going to let your grace and your strength and your power take over and do the rest. God has called you to address you. If you want to be an effective agent of change, you're going to have to address you. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus. We're not going to turn there today. But Jesus says, how can you deal with the speck in somebody else's eye when you got a log on in your own? You got to deal with you first. Go get the log out of your own eye first, and then you will see clearly how to deal with the speck in your brother's eye. You got to deal with you first. This is how we become effective agents of change. When you and I don't deal with us first, then what happens is we render God's power and the things that God has given us ineffective in the lives of the people around us. You know, I was just talking with somebody, actually within the last month and a half, on Xbox Live. Yes, Pastor Joe plays Xbox Live. Halo. If you want to 1v1 me, we could do it right after service. I'll own you. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, so I like to play Halo, and while you're playing, you have the option of joining up with other people who get entered into the same game that you do. So there's this other guy who played really good. So we ended up joining up. All right. So he became one of the people on my friends list. All right. I wouldn't necessarily call him my friend, but he's on my friends list. Just so I can clarify before I go into the rest of the story. All right. We do live around unsaved people. Amen. All right, so he gets on my friends list, and his name is Ruthless Rob. At least that's his gamer tag. Every time he comes into the party, we have to explain to Ruthless Rob, watch your mouth. If you don't want to get kicked from the party, don't be cussing. I mean, this is just terrible. Terrible, all right? So he does a pretty decent job. He actually thought it was funny that we were asking him not to, because who on Xbox Live asked people not to cuss except for maybe some good Christians? All right, so we get into a conversation later on. Come to find out, Ruthless Rob calls himself a Christian, okay? But Ruthless Rob doesn't attend church. And so I was asking him, well, why don't you attend church? Now, I'm going to tell you his statement. I'm hoping, I really think that you will be able to finish his statement. And this is what he said, all right? And you help, if you think you know the last word here, you go ahead and you say it, all right? Oh, I don't attend church because all the Christians who attend church are nothing but a bunch of... How did you know that? Hypocrites, Pastor Joe! Breaking free, starting soon. No, I'm just kidding. Are a bunch of hypocrites. And so what he said was, I have been failed, the Christian world has failed to reach me because they have failed to deal with themselves first. And you know what's interesting to me is we started talking about some things, and he started quoting scripture to me out of James. Who knows scripture? Can anybody here quote some verses out of the book of James besides the people that work at the Rock? All right, that's what he was. This young man had been raised in a Christian home, but you know what? He was around people who did not address their personal life first, and therefore what they had to say was ineffective in his life. If I can, actually, if you can, 2 Timothy first. I'm sorry, guys. 2 Timothy. Let's go 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy, let's look at chapter 2, and let's read verse number 20. I want you to hear what the Bible says here about being a vessel of God, being something or someone that God can use to change the world. He says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 20, he says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself," who cleanses who? Himself. The person cleanses himself, all right? "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter," or the old life, in other words, "he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified," watch this, "and useful for the master," capital M on master, talking about God, "prepared for every good work." Listen, if you want to be useful for the master, if you want to be set apart, if you want to be a vessel of honor, if you want to be prepared for every good work, you and I are going to have to deal with ourselves. Listen, I don't think I have to tell you today what your problems are. I think that some of us know what some of the issues that we have are in our life. And I think that if we were honest, there have been some that we have chosen to not deal with. And we've made excuses for. And God is calling you and I to address ourselves so that we can be the most effective people we can be in the world around us. Will you hold that? Cause it's gonna. I've got a glass for my house. What kind of dishwashing soap do we use? Cause that looks pretty gross. All right, this is a glass. You could also call this a vessel. All right, I've got some nice ice cold water. It's been in the fridge all day long, right here. All right, I'm gonna pour this into the glass. Ooh, just the sound. All right. Well, let's say that the water represents the Word of God. All right. So you've got a vessel that's now been filled with the Word of God. Pastor Joe, what are you talking about? You know, the Bible calls the Word of God. It says that you can be washed by the, you can be cleansed by the washing of the Word. All right. All right. How many of you out there like lemonade? Your lemonade. All right. You like some lemonade? I've got some old time country, I'm sorry, old fashioned country time lemonade, all right? So, babe, if you can come up here since I have to hold the mic real fast. And how many of you guys like sugary? You like it to be sugary? Anybody out there like me? I know it says 4 scoops, but give me 8. 8. All right. But this is only 1 scoop for all of this? All right, go ahead and give me like 3. 1. Is 3 all right? 2, 3. Okay, now stir it up for me. Stir it up. Now make it nice. All right. Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like Angelina to come up real fast because I happen to know that Angelina likes lemonade. Can you confirm that this is true under penalty of perjury in the state of California before God, His Son, and the Holy Spirit?
I do.
Okay, so she does like lemonade. Are you willing to drink this glass? Drink a sip of this glass? Are you sure? Okay, now here's the problem. If this glass is somehow tainted, it's going to be difficult, if not impossible, for Angelina to receive the goodness of this country time lemonade. So at this current time, she is willing to take a sip of the lemonade. Is that correct? Okay. that tastes pretty good. Angelina, are you still willing to drink from the glass of lemonade? She is not. Thank you very much. Everybody give Angelina a round of applause. Okay, now I called Angelina because Angelina can't even drink from Antonio's glass, all right? So I knew that it would be perfect. If I would have called Antonio up, he would have drank the rest of the glass because Antonio, where is Antonio? He's not even in here for me. Antonio's one of those guys. Okay, he's prepping for the after service thing. He's one of those guys, he'll just eat the food off of your plate. And sometimes you watch him like, but you know what? But if I could give Antonio the benefit of the doubt, that's because he has a good heart. And you know what? I better not even go there. But he believes in my what is mine is yours. My, you know, what is it? Mi casa, su casa, my house is your house. And so he wouldn't mind if you were to, even though you would never eat off of his plate, he wouldn't think twice of it. So anyways, he's a good guy. My point being is this, when we are tainted, although you got the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and every other gift and every other thing that God has given to you, you make it very difficult, if not impossible, for those around you to receive what God is trying to do through you. Are you hearing me today? Okay. All right. Paul recognized this. That's why he said in 1 Corinthians, we're not going to read it today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, you can read it. He talks about, if I have all these gifts, but I don't have love, I become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. I've rendered my gift ineffective, all right? If you want to be the best agent of change, you can be number two today. You've got to change the world for Christ. You and I need to understand that we need to change the world for Jesus Christ. First of all, if we're going to be an effective agent of change, we are going to need to address ourselves. Embrace, in other words, our personal commission given us by God. Number two today, we're going to have to change the world for Christ. What do I mean by that? There's a lot of things going on out there. For instance, you can go buy a pair of Tom's shoes, and part of that money will go toward helping other people in other countries who are in need. Isn't that right? There are reality TV shows of organizations who come along and they redo somebody's broke down, busted, and disgusted house, and they do all these cool things for people. I mean, there's songs that are written that talk about you know be the difference and reach out. And but what I want to submit to you today is this thought, and please understand me today, because I am not saying that you and I should not feed the hungry, or that you and I should not clothe the naked. Jesus said, whatever you do unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Jesus himself fed the hungry, clothed, took care of people, okay? But what good have I done if I have given food for the stomach and clothes for the body, but I have failed to deliver the bread of life? What good have I really done a person? And what good have I really done their soul and their spirit, which, by the way, gives life to their body, okay? If I've just fed their hungry belly and I've just clothed their naked body, but I failed to tell them about the one by the name of Jesus Christ, who can change their life forever? From the top of the list to the bottom, who can heal their body, who can get them out of the poverty, who can get them on their way, who can do great and mighty things, I have failed to deliver to them what is really necessary. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse number 4, Jesus says this. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is what will give you life when you and I have been given the opportunity to eat from the table of the Lord. So what I'm telling you today is, don't stop feeding the hungry. Don't stop clothing the naked. Don't stop reaching out to the people around you. All right, but do so with the addition that I'm going to tell them about Jesus too. I can't listen. One without the other, let's just be honest. One without the other, we are failing to do what God's called us to do. In fact, even if we tell people about Jesus, but we fail to do the other part, then we failed too. We've got to have both. I just happen to know that our generation is a cause-driven generation, and we like the idea of doing good things for people, but I must also tell them about Jesus Christ. I must also give to them what is needful for their spirit to continue to move forward in the things of God. Matthew 6:25, Jesus says this, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? The answer is yes. If you're really going to have what you need for life, you're going to need the Word of God, you're going to need the Holy Spirit, you're going to need Jesus Christ and all that God has for you. So today, we must remember to change the world for Jesus, not just for the betterment of the physical. And then finally, number three today, all right, if you're going to be the most effective agent of change you can be, you and I must start sowing change today. We must start sowing change today. Galatians chapter 6, we can go there together this time. Galatians chapter 6, let's begin with verse number 7. Galatians chapter 6. Beginning in verse number 7. Bible says this, it says, do not be deceived. In other words, don't be tricked. Don't be, as we might say in San Bernardino, don't get it twisted, all right? God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So there's a spiritual law here that we find in the Word of God. You must sow in order to reap, and what you sow, that will you reap, all right? Even in the natural sense, you cannot sow the seeds for an apple tree and reap a banana tree. Not possible. What you sow, you're going to reap. You can't sow the seeds of grass and up come, you know, roses. Not going to happen. When it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to your life, whatever you sow, that you're going to reap. All right. So let me see if you guys have understood what I'm trying to say. If you sow nothing, what are you going to reap? Nothing. Very good. All right? He says here, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Verse number 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good. All right? This is in the context of sowing. All right? Let's not grow weary, you could say, in doing good, in sowing what is good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now watch what verse number 10 says. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. In other words, because of what I just said about sowing and reaping, therefore, let us now do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Listen, today you have to understand, if you don't sow, well, first of all, what you sow, you will reap. And if you don't sow anything, you're not going to get anything. And too many of us today are waiting for the world around us to start changing before we decide we're going to start sowing. Before I start telling somebody about Jesus, before I start sowing the Word of God, before I start, how about this, just doing what is right, I'm waiting for somebody else to change first. I'm waiting for there to be a sign of change, a heart of change. No, God has called you to begin to sow change first, and then you will reap the change that God will cause to come to pass as you sow. You know, we have this statement here at the church, and I like it. We have the statement that what we do here at this church is we want to love people to life. Isn't that right? Now, you can't say that statement backwards. I want to life people to love. That doesn't make any sense. At all. Not even the least bit. That's not even proper English. I don't know. Okay? Why? Because first things have to come first. You have to love in order to reap life. You've got to love somebody today in order to see life come forth, the fruit of life come forth in their life. Listen, today you have to sow forgiveness in order to reap reconciliation. You got to sow love in order to reap life. You got to sow forgiveness before you reap reconciliation. There's a group of people that I know right now that one person is mad at the other person, and the other person's family, and the other person's family have two people on that side of the family who are mad at them, and as a result, that person's family has their family who are mad at them, and this is a statement that was made to me. Each one of them is waiting for an apology from the other. How many of you realize today that that situation is never going to be solved until somebody first says, you know what, God forgave me, and because God forgave me, I'm going to go ahead and sow what was right, and I'm going to forgive you. Whether you think that you did something right, whether you think that you did something wrong, whether you're apologetic or not, I'm going to sow forgiveness, and I'm going to reap reconciliation. I'm going to reap some change in my life. You must sow God's word into your heart in order to reap righteousness and Christ-likeness. Listen, just because you come to church and just because you take up a seat does not mean that you are going to grow in the things of God. You've got to sow into your life in order to reap what God has for you. You got to bring your Bible to church. You're going to have to pay attention. And then you're going to have to do what the Bible says to do. You and I must be doers of the word of God and not just hearers only. All right, so we need to start sowing today. Don't wait for the world around you to start to change. Begin to sow the change that God has called you to sow. Begin to tell people about Jesus. Begin to address your personal life. Who better to reach the lost than the person who has addressed their personal life, who has embraced their personal commission? Who better to reach the world around them than people who are ready to make a change in the world for Jesus Christ? And then, of course, today, again, point number three was this, to start sowing change today. Maybe Michael Jackson had it right, starting with the man in the mirror. But at least he started somewhere. And that's all I'm trying to say to you is start today. Don't wait for the world around you to change. Start sowing change today. If you got something good from God's word, you can go ahead and give him a great big praise.